Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another installment of the PVD Cast. I am your host, John Orlando, the man that brings you the only podcast that is live and indirect from Providence, Rhode Island, via Columbus, Ohio. And welcome to episode number 121. And I am very excited to bring you this episode, as I am every time I bring you a new episode. I say that all the time, that I'm excited to bring you the episode, but I am, because that's what I'm passionate about. I'm passionate about this podcast. And on this installment of the PVD Cast, we're going to talk about one of my biggest passions, one of my lifelong passions, and that is professional wrestling. And I'm joined by two gentlemen that I have a history with, Ringside Rand and DJ Joey Blaze. Those two gentlemen, along with a few others, and myself, were the creators of the Capital City Wrestling Hotline, which we talk a little bit about at the beginning, but it was basically a wrestling hotline here in Central Ohio that we would get on every day, and we all had shifts, and we all rotated shifts and talked about wrestling news and whatnot. It was the forerunner to a podcast, if you want to say that. And so DJ Joey Blaze has been wanting to come on. He got in touch with Ringside Rand. We all got together at my house here at Casa de la Orlando, sat down around the kitchen table, and talked about the WWE pay-per-view that just occurred a couple of days ago, Extreme Rules. We also give our thoughts on some storylines from Raw and SmackDown, and even talk a little bit about 205 Live. And here's the amazing thing. I haven't done this in a long time, but truth be told, straight shooting, all of a sudden I realized we were going 50 minutes, and we still had a lot to talk about. So this is going to be part one of our conversation. Part two I will put up in a couple of weeks, where we talk a little bit more about some other miscellaneous wrestling stuff. But it was a great episode to record. I had a lot of fun. It was great that I got to see these guys after a very long time of not seeing Ringside Rand. Joey, I think I saw about a year or so ago, but still nonetheless, it is always good to get back with friends and talk about stuff that you're passionate about. So with that, I'm going to throw it to a quick break. And on the other side of this break, you will hear part one of the conversation I had as we're talking wrestling with DJ Joey Blaze and Ringside Rand. All right, welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another installment of the PVD Cast. I'm joined by two guests. First, DJ Joey Blaze.
What's happening? It's been a while since I've been here.
It has been a very long time.
I'm definitely excited. There's some good things to talk about.
I know. And, of course, also joined by Ringside Rand. Rand, how are you?
Good evening. It must be a special occasion. I don't leave the Golden Ghetto of Upper Arlington for just anything. This is a big deal. By the way, thanks for the valet parking.
Oh, you're welcome. You're welcome. I try to keep it classy here at Casa de la Orlando.
I didn't notice that.
Well, because you were distracted by the hot girl walking her dog.
That did happen, yeah. But it's nice it's for the debut of Ringside. It's been a long time since we've seen him. I thought we'd have to bail him out of somewhere, but he's here with us.
He is here. This is like 50% of the crew responsible for the Capital City Wrestling Hotline.
What was that phone number? Hold on. Here's one.
Okay.
I remember a phone number, but I don't remember whose it was for.
Okay.
614-470-1700. Whose was that?
That was Capital City Wrestling Hotline, wasn't it? Yeah.
It was not?
No.
I do not remember. There was no evidence of my participation.
Or was that the FIW hotline?
I don't know. And first of all, there are probably people listening to this going, what the hell is a hotline? So maybe True. I will clarify. See, folks, and I'm pretty sure no one's under 30 listening to this, so we don't have to really explain. At one time, there were phones in homes, and you literally had to pick them up and dial numbers and stay relatively in your house to complete a phone call.
Well, I remember I actually did one of mine. I stepped in this artifact called a phone booth. And it was push button. It wasn't a rotary one. And I actually did an update from one of those, I believe.
Really?
A phone booth, yeah.
A phone booth. Yeah. Wow.
Look it up. Google it. They're interesting what they are.
But anywho, before podcasts, you had wrestling hotlines. And we had our own here, the Capital City Wrestling Hotline, which piggybacked off the fame of the FIW hotline and the IWA hotline.
Which, yeah, I was going to say, would piggyback, but I would... I would always leave nasty messages for for a couple gentlemen on the IWA hotline. It was mainly Wimpy Watson. I would definitely read him the right act. Rest his soul.
Yes.
I was always a fan, but I'd always enjoy to cut a promo because you had room for messages at the end, and I'm sure you got your share of messages from people at the end. Or
well, one from a gentleman named Adam Fairfax was the best.
Oh, yes. Because yes.
Yeah, I think a few beverages had been consumed, and then he decided to leave a diatribe of that were filled with profanity.
Well, anybody that has a gimmick that names themselves after a top-notch toilet or commode is on some... I mean, hey, the American standard. But
this was after D.L. Hopper.
This was after T.L.
Look him up. Yeah. Look him up, kids.
Yes. The only thing I can remember is that first few, what the fuck is this? That's all I can remember.
Oh, we can cuss on here.
Oh, yeah. I don't care.
Nice.
I don't care.
I mean, I don't cuss.
It is marked explicit in iTunes and Google Play.
I never noticed that.
You never noticed that. All right. Well, anyways, there you go.
What's on the agenda today?
What's on the agenda today? Well, let's talk some wrestling.
That's what I'm here for.
That's what we're here for. We're not here to talk about IKEA.
You know what? Well, we're in the green room. We're all talking in the green room. We're chanting up. And, you know, we're kind of talking about some stories. I haven't listened. I don't know. Did you touch on the Pittsburgh Comic Con on your podcast yet?
I did.
Okay.
I did. Why?
I missed. I just want to know what you enjoyed from that. That's all.
What did I enjoy? I got to
because
be
I know you. It's all about entertainment here. It's sure. Not just about wrestling. Right. We talk about
of course.
Other things.
We talk about whatever the hell I want to talk about. It was a bad year. This show and you know you being a toy collector, I'm sure you've been to plenty of toy shows.
Not adult toys, but go on.
Well, maybe I don't know.
For the right amount of money.
You know, and so you have some good shows and some bad shows, I'm sure you went to. And this year was a little bit of a bad show, I think probably because I went on Sunday. And I think that some vendors had already left. There was not a big crowd there because there was both a Pirates and Penguins game in Pittsburgh that day. And there just seemed to be a lot of focus on toys and action figures rather than actual comics or soft covers or trade paperbacks, whatever you want to call them. And so that left me kind of like, well, okay. I mean, it was okay. We'll try it next year again on a Saturday, the time that you should probably go to a comic book convention.
Well, that's a couple things I want to segue in. Oh, you talk about toys. I've been friends with Ringside for 20 years, roughly. Going on that?
Very good chance of that, yes.
It seems like a century, doesn't it?
And when we first started going over there to watching pay-per-views, this gentleman had the sweetest wrestling room that you would ever step foot in.
Really?
What were some of your favorite pieces in that room?
I have the entire AWA Galoob collection, both international and domestic. For a long time, I had every single Jax WWE.
Everyone.
So wait a minute. I got to go back. Wait, there were international AWA action figures?
Big Josh... The Natural.
That, well, was that the WCW.
I'm sorry.
Okay, yeah, okay. Yeah,
the
okay.
little Galoob ones.
Yes.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. All right.
I had a lot of the AWAs. I had all of the Hasbro. I have the best looking Sergeant Slaughter I've ever seen.
Oh, the LJN?
The LJN, yes.
Oh, yeah, I have that one too.
That's a tough one to get. I just remember I remember walking in there. He was so excited. Here's a couple grown men walking into this room with a bunch of toys, but it was the coolest thing. And back then, different, just like now with toys, they have their own exclusive vendors. KB did these little exclusive things, and he had these Yokozuna, which I always thought were the coolest ones, and you could never find them in a regular package. I think they made them in like a 3-pack, but that was the only time was when a KB did exclusive that you could buy Yokozuna in a single figure, if I'm not mistaken. By Jax. They did Hasbro's.
It was in a different size package because they went size proportionate. He was, instead of maybe 2 inches deep, he was 3 or 4 inches. It was...
Really?
And I'm working on a similar waistline.
Yeah, well, you know, I mean...
That happens after all these years, yeah. But...
Funny you mention that. I'll go ahead and put this over. I never really talked about this, but while doing some NOW work, as I mentioned, at the home of Dirk Extreme, he's got a big collection. And in fact, he clued me in that the Nord the Barbarian Remco is really rare. And I did not know that
I had it. He was like, do you want a Carlos Colon and Abdullah the Butcher? I'm like, no, I'm good with my collection. I don't have those two. But I was surprised by that. And he asked me, he goes, where did you get them? And I was like, well, I got that, Summers, Rose, the referee, Ric Flair, Nord, and Sheik. I got at Big Lots, but this was when Big Lots was a, you know, crappy secondhand store, not the retailer it is now. And he's like, I'll be damned. He goes, because, yeah, I was like, that's how I got them.
Yeah. And it's crazy that you see, that's great segues to another question I wanted to kind of ask you, because you're a geek like me. As I go to more and more toy shows, things I didn't think there was that many of, like those AWA ones, I always find them in the cheap bins. Yeah. Not Nord, so to say, but I look down and I'll find a Flair, Road Warriors.
Yeah.
Maybe so I think something was once thought of as being rare, aren't as rare anymore, which is what I want to, speaking of rare, comic book shows used to be rare, and maybe that's one of the reasons why yours wasn't as good. I don't know how you feel about, I feel like it's just watered down. I was just talking to somebody the other day, because I collect what's called Funko Pops. I don't know
if you
have those. I'm a big fan of Funko Pops now. You'd laugh at my collection. It's crazy. But there is, like you go, there's something going on. There's Walker Stalker. There's Heroes and Villains. There's your favorite that they run in Columbus, your Wizard World, which,
you know. Well, kind of I'm attending this year.
Oh my! I might have a heart attack on that one. I know John's not a fan.
Well, you know what? I have softened on that, and that's a very long story. You know, I found out that, you know, the Wizard World is trying to do the right thing. In fact, here, I'll go ahead and plug it. If you've never listened to this podcast before, go back in the archives. Listen to the first time Victor Dandridge Jr. was on this podcast. He talks about how that they've made mistakes and they're trying to be more pro indie comic and whatnot, and so I've softened a little bit, and I have the opportunity to go this year, and I'm looking forward to it.
Have you ever been to any of these, Rand? Or Ringside, I should say. I apologize.
I'm sure that'll be deleted in post-production.
Yeah.
I've been to toy shows, but never the
cons,
the literature. No.
We went to Philly last year, and we set in on
Philly Wizard World.
Okay. On a panel with the Bellas. I think that's, yeah, then they had some, there was another, I forget the other panel we sat on. It was cool. It was different.
Yeah,
it's
sure.
Interesting. So if you guys are out there, you've never been to one, I definitely strongly suggest, but I digress. Those are 2 points I wanted to make.
Well, here, I don't know if I've talked about it, but I'll be at Wizard World with Brian Lau.
Okay.
Good friend of the podcast, the guy that created Staunch Ambition. He's going to be down there. I'm going to be tagging along with him, just like we did when we went to space. The Small Press and Alternative Comics Expo, by the way. Most definitely I'm going to be down there. I'm looking forward to it.
And then I didn't catch you a couple weeks ago at a wedding we were supposed to do, too. So just I'm excited, really. If I just start blabbing for no reason, I get to see
two of my
longtime wrestling
That's
fans
fine.
I haven't seen for a while.
That's right.
I mean, John's in my top five I missed at that wedding. There's a couple others I wish that were there, but they shall remain nameless. But congratulations to Michael and Angela, if you're out there listening. It was a fun wedding. Now, I'm sorry.
Okay.
I'll get off
All
my
right.
diatribe.
All right, so let's talk about the Extreme Rules pay-per-view. It was just a couple of days ago. We all watched it. So, overall, here's what I did. I graded each individual match and then kind of gave it an overall grade. Overall grade, I gave it a C+. Because I think it started great, it ended great, the middle was bleh. So, I don't know if you guys agree or not.
I exactly agree. That's why I looked at it, too. Great opening match. It seemed like Elias Sampson was complete filler.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, let's see who's standing around in the back and put him out there for 5 to 10 minutes.
Okay. Elias Sampson, I just love the gimmick.
So do I. It just seemed like it was thrown out there.
But here's why.
Okay. I don't like the gimmick.
At the NXT show I went to, the Ringside was at. They did the whole gimmick where he was kicked out, but he was wrestling under a mask. And I've been a fan of it, but to see him do it live, it's hilarious. It's very engaging. It's a throwback to me. That's what I like. It's kind of a throwback, and the dude sucks singing. And that's the gimmick part I love. Like, we all know he sucks at singing.
Yeah.
And plus, I mean, he's got a throwback look too. He's a big dude. I'm anxious to see what they do further with the gimmick. So I personally like it, but
okay. Well, I'm going to back up and talk about the pre-show.
Yeah.
Because here's one thing that I've mentioned. Due to my personal professional schedule, I haven't really sat down and watched the WWE product in a couple of months. So for me, this pay-per-view was refreshing. Like, I'm not burned out on it. Like, I was excited for it. I wanted to see it. I'm going to sit down and actually watch the pre-show. I'm going to take it all in. I'm going to, you know, because I've read stuff. That's all I've done. I maybe have watched a little bit of Raw here, like 15, 20 minutes here, 15, 20 minutes there, whatever. I haven't really sat down and watched in its entirety in a long time. So it was good for me. So I kicked off by watching the pre-show. And this panel is god-awful. Renee Young, who is very capable, even though she looked like she just came from the gym in her little skimpy tank top.
I'll take that.
Yeah. Otunga is terrible. Sam Roberts is annoying as hell. Why is he there?
When you put out a second-grade pre-show panel like that, you're setting it up to be a second-rate pay-per-view.
Yes.
Where are the people that I'd like to listen to? I don't understand this Sam guy.
He's like the skinny bastard child of Scott Hartnell. I mean, that's what he looks like. And in what... Like, here's Adam Michaels said it best in a text. Dave Meltzer has the credibility of being a wrestling journalist for 20-some-odd years. What has Sam Roberts done? He has a podcast. He's a radio personality. He's an ultramark.
He knows where the bodies are buried, probably.
Now, I don't know. I can't stand him.
Would you have guys out there that you could pay to bring on? Like, I just was talking about Table for Three, how I was enamored with seeing Cornette and Bischoff. Sure. When you have these guys still under the umbrella... utilize them for stuff like this. I would love to hear Cornette's take on what's going to go on throughout the evening. Would he probably do it?
Probably
who knows?
Not, but
money talks and bullshit walks.
Right.
So get somebody on. Get the name value on there. I get what they're trying to do with Otunga. They want to keep him around because whatever credibility he brings to their movies, being married to who he's married to. Okay, fine. I get it. Just kind of do something different with him. When they had panels where they had Lita, and they had Booker, and they had Jerry Lawler, or I know Sean wouldn't do it for every time, but he was on the Mania one, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
You have guys like that have been there, but get somebody in there that's a mouthpiece too, like I was saying, like a Cornette or a Bischoff or something like that.
People with credibility.
Exactly.
Right. And speaking of a mouthpiece, then they bring Nia Jax on there, who is god-awful in just conversating with people, first of all. Not talking about her promos, but just talking, she was terrible.
I don't know if she botches more in the ring or at the table. Her character should not speak.
I agree.
Especially in that voice.
Exactly. She needs a manager. That's who Paul Ellering should be managing. Not the Articles of Confederation or whatever the hell that tag team's called in NXT.
They're poets or something, they got bookworms.
The Authors of Pain. That's
whatever. Anyways, the only thing painful is watching them in the ring. But
well, anyway.
But yeah, I would think it'd be cool. I was thinking this when I was watching SmackDown, is taking the two Samoan women that are so physically impressive and putting them together and having them dominating the women's division somehow. I think that would be way more interesting because Tamina does need to talk either.
No.
Not knocking her. She's way better in the ring.
Yes.
She does need to talk. I think she's attractive. I'm sorry. That has something to do with me when I watch these women wrestle. But I think, you put both of them together, you have this badassery going on, and kind of like what they did with Natty and Beth Phoenix, but to another level.
Yeah.
That's my opinion on that one. But
there are certain characters based on body type and personality who should not speak. As much as I love Samoa Joe, less speaking, more. Go almost back to the Chris Benoit silent but violent.
But I loved his promo last night.
Oh, his promo was great. Phenomenal.
I like because he's very one of the things I've always liked about Joe is he's imposing, but he's always just behind the scenes stuff. He's always been very articulate with what he has to say and stuff like that. So I see what you're saying.
Part of his being good is that when he does speak, it's important.
Yeah.
Yes, I was going to say, he has intensity and purpose. And yeah, I totally agree.
And the fact that what he said wound up being played out with the Walrus, he's man of his words.
Did you hear that? At Heyman Hustle?
Yes.
When he says something, he does it.
I totally agree. I think that to me, I hearken back to the old school where you had those intimidating characters that didn't need to speak. Lord Humongous, if you will, doesn't need to speak, all right, because he was an imposing person. Bundy and Studd didn't do a lot of talking. They had Bobby Heenan, but imposing folks. And you know what I mean?
Like the Powers of Pain, you didn't need to speak because you had Slick.
Right, exactly.
Or you had Fuji, or you had stuff like that. Fuji wasn't a speaker, but... I'm a huge Slick mark, but
sure.
So yeah, back to her on the pre-show.
Bad. I'll tell you what though, and I say this: the opening match, Apollo Crews and Kalisto, I thought was really good.
Yeah, I gave it a B.
I thought it was pretty good, even though I don't like the storyline of Titus O'Neil. I don't understand it. Like, is he the Black Million Dollar Man, or what is? I don't get what the gimmick is.
If he's the Black Million Dollar Man, he's going bankrupt. He's not successful.
No, I mean. I don't.
Are we supposed to laugh at him or fear him?
Right.
It's just a fact that you have somebody with a lot of talent, but you don't have anything to do with them. And that happens so much in the WWE. You have these guys. I'm a big Apollo Crews fan. Even in NXT, he was still a little dry. He was so good, but he doesn't. He needs a mouthpiece, but that mouthpiece isn't Titus O'Neil.
No, I agree. But it was still a good match.
And Kalisto's amazing.
And see, I'm not a fan of Kalisto, but I give him credit that this match was good.
But I don't understand why they have these guys there, like him, but he's on a 205 Live.
Right. Well,
that's a whole other story.
That's a whole other. We'll get to that later. I tell you what, though, I do love me some Charlie Caruso. Hubba hubba.
Well, Enzo tried to get with that the other night, didn't he, on Raw?
Yeah. Well, you talk about attractive young ladies. There you go.
Yeah, I agree.
So then we kick off the show with what I think was probably, it was a tie for me, but I gave it the nod. I think Miz and Ambrose's match of the night. Just beat out the main event just by that much, I think, personally.
Miz is so good at being annoying.
Yes.
He is a great heel.
Yes.
He's an awesome heel. I love what they keep doing with him. He served his purpose. Like, when he first came in, I was kind of annoyed, like... this kid from MTV, but I've grown more and more. A little bit of a homer, too. He's an Ohio boy, so I kind of like that. But just he's a throwback. He's a heel. He's on the mic, and he just knows how to...
push the buttons.
Exactly.
Yeah. And I liked how they built the drama using the ref, you know, which I thought was smart. Hey, Dean, you know, reminding him, I'll disqualify you. I like that. I like the swerve of Maryse getting tossed out and then she came back. I wasn't a fan of the ref bump at the end to set up the pin because I think it would have been just better that she comes back down. But nonetheless, overall, those guys worked their ass off. I thought it was a really good match. And The Miz picks up the win and gets the Intercontinental title for, what, the seventh?
Seventh time. I always love a good story in a match.
Yes, same here. I totally agree.
It gets lost way too often.
Mm-hmm. I wrote this down because I found it comical. We have an interview with Bailey, where she mentions he's been watching tape on The Sandman, Tommy Dreamer, and Steve freaking Blackman? Steve Blackman?
He was a master of the kendo stick.
What about Justin Credible?
He's not just this. What is it? How's it go again?
I'm just not the best. I can't even remember how
this is old guys trying to remember wrestling promos. It's not good. That's a whole other podcast.
The fact that we mentioned Steve Blackman pretty much gives away our age.
What point?
It goes back to the VHS and beta tapes.
Well, here's an interesting fact. I'm trying to figure who it ties into and how I found this out, but. It shows you how long ago it was when there used to be a Hooters on the east side, which that was a long time ago.
Oh, God, yes.
Blackman used to date one of the girls that worked there.
You're get out of town. Really?
Yep, he sure did, yeah. So whenever they were in town, they would enjoy themselves some Hooters wings.
Would they?
So, interesting fact.
There you go.
I don't know her name. Probably doesn't matter, but
it was called a Trixie. You know what? I was on social media and saw a friend of mine on my personal Facebook account was... Took her children to Hooters. I'm like, where's there a Hooters at? And then I found out it's in Beckley, West Virginia.
Oh,
So
well, there's smoke. Good.
The closest Hooters,
yeah,
is Beckley, West Virginia.
Well, I don't know. No, because I've been to, I was one in right across the border from Toledo, right there in Michigan. There's one right there.
All I know is they keep this. I saw this a year ago, but I haven't. They haven't said anything since. But they're supposed to be bringing back corporate stores to Columbus.
Are they?
Where, I don't know, but
okay. Maybe right next to the IKEA.
Hey.
I'm harping on IKEA because I'm sick and tired of the hype. Sorry, for the last 4 days.
That's
I'm
all we've like, heard about here in Columbus, yes, Ohio. I know. Sunny and beautiful Columbus, Ohio.
That's right.
But anyways, so the next match was the mixed tag, wasn't it?
Oh, this was freaking awful.
Once again, Sasha Banks should not be involved with this. It's as if they're trying to elevate the other three by associating with her.
Okay, so this is where maybe we can dive into 205 Live for a moment, because I've never watched 205 Live, because I'll be honest, what I've seen in the Cruiserweight division on Raw, it doesn't make me want to watch 205 Live.
But it's because we look at Cruiserweights as different. When we grew up as fans and we're growing as our fandom, Cruiserweights were guys that flipped around,
yep,
jumped around, and yep, all this crazy stuff, uh-huh, where Cruiserweights now, obviously, they're not the same thing. They're mat technicians, they're strikers. They're just the same stuff that we see, just in smaller packages, which I'm not a fan of that.
You would rather see American Luchadors, then?
Yes.
The high-flying, off the, yes, ropes?
Because American Luchadors also have characters built. None of these dudes have character. Noam Dar is what? Oh, he's Scottish and Israeli. Woohoo! That's all you got for me. Rich Swann dances. Okay.
He's a modern-day junkyard dog. I think that's fair to say.
All right. Well, I don't have a comment.
If he came down to grab them cakes, I wouldn't be offended.
But, I mean, that's the problem that I had with... Besides, okay, Jack Gallagher, I do enjoy that guy. Because
yeah,
he has
a great gimmick.
It's a great gimmick.
There's personality there.
Right, yeah, I like that. As much as I don't like him, just because maybe it's because he is so arrogant, TJP has a good character.
Oh yeah,
I don't like him. I think he's obnoxious.
What about Austin Aries?
Austin Aries has one.
But
I think
sitting here as fans because we've watched Austin Aries come up
right
through other organizations.
Sure,
how they introduced him to the WWE universe was horrible.
Oh, okay. Okay.
And not. It was a little
on the announce table.
It was a little bit of two. Well, I liked him there, and I loved the banana gimmick, but then what they've done with him, they should have brought him in, and why doesn't he have the strap? That, to me, that's goofy. He shouldn't keep doing the job.
And he flipped a lot, because he was a heel, face.
In NXT.
In NXT, and then he disappeared, and then he showed up on the main roster. It was very weird. Because
he broke his orbital socket.
Oh, that's true.
That's
true.
Not comfortable.
I believe not.
But no, that the whole I understood what they did. I liked the tournament.
Yes.
Okay. The tournament was exciting.
Yes.
I think their focus needs to be more on guys like Mustafa Ali, Grand Metalik, guys like that, mm-hmm, with that can jump around, that can do the crazy stuff, that have the personalities. That's why I think somebody like Kalisto, Sin Cara, guys, yes, like that, when they finally break up, which I want to talk about that today real quick, Enzo and Big Cass. Enzo should be in 205 because of his size and his character. I don't seem like you might be a fan of him.
No,
whatever the case is.
No.
I would put somebody like him there after that, but that's a whole other story.
Since we are now in the network era and we don't have the Sunday night rigid 7, 8, 11 o'clock time limits, could you see a Thursday night pay-per-view of just 205 guys?
Well,
could.
They already have their TV show, and it's kind of... I mean, I can kind of see that. I think they would do better if they put it more in an earlier time slot, maybe, too.
Well, I agree. That's what every critic has said, is that the crowd is dead because they've already sat through 3 hours of SmackDown, because right, there's an hour before that people may not know. There's like an hour of dark matches beforehand, and then you do the 2 hours of SmackDown, and then you do another hour, and the fans are just burnt out. And there's also the theory, too, that the WWE now are we getting too much content?
You're saying that after 3 hours, because they're late and they're not on TV, that they're not as important as the network-only people?
I'm saying that I think 205 Live would be a better presentation if it was on earlier, if it wasn't put in a smaller venue, rather than the you know, Allstate Arena or the Royal Farms Arena that fits 15,000, why are they, much like NXT, why are they not focusing on putting those guys in a smaller, more intimate venue?
So tour them as a separate brand.
Tour them as a separate brand.
I could see
that.
That
would work better for them.
For with what they're trying to do with what,
right.
what they have.
Right.
But if they focus more on trying to bring back that late 90s, early 2000 type of cruiserweight,
that's like
it would go well. If that was the case, so it would still work on Raw because it worked on Nitro, in my opinion.
Sure. Okay.
But there's just nothing exciting about it. You're 100% correct.
Yeah, no, there's nothing that interests me about it. This match was awful. I gave it a D only because there was a little bit of some cool moves with Swan and Dar, but the rest of the match was garbage. I mean, just bottom line. But Bayley and Alexa Bliss with the coal miner's glove on a pole. Oh, I'm sorry, no, on my bad. Kendo stick on a pole.
Or Rey Mysterio's son on a pole. Wasn't that a match? What was that match with Eddie Guerrero and yeah?
That was.
Yeah, I forget. Well, Dominic.
Dominic
on a pole match.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
Mm-hmm.
That'd be great if he's older now. He's 18. He might be able to wrestle with the cruiserweights, but
maybe.
But no.
This match was terrible. Like I don't understand. Well, number one, I don't understand the finish. I don't understand how throwing her into the kendo stick that's propped up would be more devastating than being hit with it. Like, I don't understand it. I know that led into the DDT, but still, I was like, that just doesn't seem like that would even be logical.
I don't think I've ever seen... I think there's only been a few Extreme Rules matches for the... I can't call it Diva Division anymore.
No.
Among the women, and most of them were Charlotte, Sasha, and Becky Lynch. This was something that I was uncomfortable watching because...
If they wanted to do a hardcore match, I'm sorry to interrupt Rand ringside with Man from the Golden Ghetto.
You have as many
nicknames
as Triple H. Anyways.
Trish Stratus versus Victoria on Raw. They had an Extreme Rules match.
I don't remember that.
This is about 13 years ago. I looked that up. If they could have just copied that match verbatim, those girls tore the house down. Which, by the way, did you know Victoria had a tape out?
Sex tape? A sex tape? No, I was unaware.
I found that the other day, which... kudos. But anyways, but no, that would be like that... Because you had two great female wrestlers. That was a... If you go back, look, that's an extreme match.
Okay.
What this was had no reason to be an Extreme Rules match. Maybe make it a tables match? Maybe make it a ladder match? Would it be cool if they had done a women's cage match? But kendo stick didn't work.
No.
Or I'd rather seen a coal miner's glove on a pole because that would have taken me back to Jake versus Sting, which was so shitty but still awesome.
Maybe they could have done Spin the Wheel, Make the Deal before that to set up the coal miner's glove match.
And had a bunch of dwarfs out there chanting Spin the Wheel, Make the Deal.
Yes! Yeah. Yes! Great Halloween Havoc memories.
Oh,
Catfish
yes.
Jack?
I remember that. He was in one of the vignettes. Catfish Jack? Yes, anyways.
Wow.
I've had enough catfish, by the way, with this... Stanley Cup playoffs.
Oh, that's right.
As a side note. So.
That makes sense.
But yeah, that match was just bad. And speaking of matches that were confusing as all get out, we're going to go to the steel cage match between Cesaro, Sheamus, and the Hardys. I don't understand why was it Escape the Cage? Because, just logically, and even the announce team was confused by this, if you let one member get out... Because the rules were both members had to escape the cage. Why? Why would you give a shit if your partner left? Because then if you're the heel tag team, you can beat the snot out of the remaining face or vice versa.
Right.
And expect the other one to come back in to save him.
Right. It didn't make any sense whatsoever. I was like, it should have just been one member gets out and then you're done. You know, it doesn't have to be both.
And the way that they were leaving the cage too was backwards to me. Because a face always leaves through the top, and a heel always goes out the door.
True.
The shortcut.
Yeah.
It always takes that shortcut. I mean, I can kind of see why, but I would have had both the Hardys going up, then maybe Jeff trying to jump off, maybe his leg getting caught, and then the two guys, then Cesaro and Sheamus kind of sneaking out. I'm just pissed because they can't have broken Matt Hardy. I'm sick of this. Like, I'd literally want to go over to... the guy with the owl product down there and Impact and be like, and shake and be like, dude, just
you
let
will write
him
a check.
If I had the money. Because it's the whole universe, you can walk out.
And there's Brother Meat Nero chance in the middle of this match.
Delete. Like, something needs to happen with that personally. But for them to drop the tag titles to I like Sheamus and Cesaro as a tag team, but maybe somebody different. I know the Cody Rhodes doesn't like the Revival, because he always likes to say, fuck the Revival, but...
What's the heat there? This is news to me. What's the
You haven't
there?
Seen any of that?
No.
Okay, well... No. Come on, this is your punk. It's a big thing. He jokingly has said that, like, he was doing a photo shoot, and he looked at it, and he's pointing, and he says, fuck the Revival. He doesn't have heat with him, but it caught fire, so every time he does anything now, like, there's a picture going around the internet where he has a Starbucks cup where instead of having his name, it says, fuck the Revival on it.
Nice. Okay.
So
this is an inside joke that now has turned into a life of all of its own in the society that we live.
So back to whatever's going on. Okay. Somebody's holding these titles warm for Dash and Dawson by Mania to be your tag team champs. That's my opinion.
It seems to me that Cesaro and Sheamus are spare parts that were put together, and I don't get a whole lot out of them. I like Cesaro separately. I don't care for Sheamus.
I never have cared for Sheamus, really, but they work as a tag team. I didn't really like it at first. Like you said, that spare parts feeling, but now they kind of dress alike, and they have that old... It's kind of like an 80s feel tag team to me. A couple big guys.
Yeah. A
couple, you know, just the old 80s WWF... Not 80s tag team, because I like tag teams outside the WWF. I guess the old 80s WWF type of tag team. So, whatever. I don't think they're going to hold on to these titles this time around that much. And it's going to be interesting to see what goes on with the Hardys. Do they still keep them together? Do they take them their separate ways now after this? So
I don't know.
What did you give that match?
I gave it a C- because there was some cool moves. There was some innovative stuff. Here's the other thing, too. A cage match has to be violent. And I felt like it wasn't that violent.
When's the last time a cage match been really violent?
I know.
Especially at Extreme Rules.
Right. There's no blood. There's nothing that... And I know they're going for the PG rating, which I think is bullshit. But okay. But I mean... There wasn't enough violence for it, and you know, and I think it was also not set up properly. Why did the Hardys pick this match?
Yeah, they would. That didn't make sense to me. They would pick a ladder match, or they'd pick something along those lines.
Maybe they're setting up for a TLC match later on.
I don't know. I want the blue steel cage back too. By the way, speaking of the '80s,
if they're going to use that type of cage, if not, I want to see. I want to see. Oh my God! Why can't I think of the ring where they put two teams of four in there?
War Games.
Yes, I want to see War Games again. That's what I want
to
see.
Supposedly, there's rumors that they continue to pitch that
where
idea.
Where Sid takes Flying Brian and presses up against the top of the cage. That was one of my favorite spots back in the day. But I want to see a cage like that or the old blue cage. They need to...
There's rumors that the War Games has been pitched many times, but Vince continues to shoot it down.
Would War Games be something where you have a bunch of tag teams that may be Survivor Series?
I think War Games would be perfect Raw versus SmackDown.
Yeah.
And to build something towards that. And that would be a perfect way to do.
Yeah.
And kind of do some reality storylines with people showing up on the other show. And then kind of going back to that and kind of... But having people as a focal point like The Miz that can drive that reality point through.
Yeah.
Not anybody cheesy, but anyway...
Next up, we got Aries and Neville in a submission match, which you talk about matches like the ladies' match for the title. Why was this one a submission match? Why was it not falls count anywhere? Because then you could let them go and fly around, and these two guys are capable. And I like heel Neville. I didn't like face Neville.
Well, it's because he's been using the Rings of Saturn. If you notice, he didn't start using it until about a month and a half ago.
That's true.
So he starts using the move, and all of a sudden he's a submission master. But
and
no,
I think Stu Hart would agree with you on that.
I would.
You use it for a month and you got it down.
I would love to have seen Falls. That makes perfect sense, especially with these two.
Hey there, kid. Let me show you something. I have your arm, please.
Especially at Extreme Rules.
Exactly.
Did you like that Stu Hart impression?
That was nice.
It was spot on.
It was
so
creepy,
it?
Actually. I feel kind of dirty. But no, or just like this, like you said, a street fight with the name of the city. You know, where's that type of stuff? Like, yeah, or come as you are type of thing. That would have been cool, too.
Yeah,
because then you could have seen him do stuff like, whatever happened to the banana? The banana was cool during when he did announcing. Now it's gone. Like, you could have used that as a funny spot. Like, because he has that charisma. They're not allowing Austin Aries to use his charisma.
He could have ate the banana to get the potassium, throw the peel down. Later, Neville slips and falls on it. That would have been awesome.
Yeah, it would have been funny.
And
Doyle rules, you know.
Yeah, so. Three boxing of the ears by Aries. I'm like, dude, you've done it three times.
Yeah.
Enough. You know, it was like the FIW show we worked, where it was night of the ball shots.
Oh, gosh.
Had a ball shot.
Every match.
Every match.
That or DDTs, usually. Those are the two that would...
Yeah.
That's one of the things I don't... just touch on really fast, is I don't think these workers watch the matches like they used to, because you see a lot of repeat moves.
Yeah.
More and more. Maybe I'm just me noticing, maybe I'm just thinking stuff up, but I've noticed that a lot of times too. But anyway, sorry.
So overall, I thought this match, I gave it a C-, but again, there were some things wrong. Like, why can't you win on the floor if it's extreme rules?
Submission matches happen either inside or outside. Right. Maybe you hit somebody and give them the Rings of Saturn while you're on an announce table.
Yeah, but he had the last chancery on Neville on the floor, and they were like, you got to get it in the ring. I'm like, why? It's
extreme rules.
Thank you.
And I think it falls a lot back on their writing team. Like, it goes back to what you were saying, too. They could have used all that in a Falls Count Anywhere or a street fight match.
Right.
And that would have been, that would have made it that much more awesome.
Exactly. All right, and then our main event, the final five-way. I was disappointed no Demon for Finn Balor.
I saw a lot about that on the internet.
Why not, man? That would have been awesome.
I figured the match would be big enough. You're going for a shot after the title.
Yeah. But. My only gripe I felt about this match was that there were no pin attempts until about 25 minutes into the match. All right? Which I was like, that. Why couldn't we have some falses right away? Some falsies right there. Not maybe two counts, maybe one counts, boom, boom, something quick.
Build the suspense.
Build the drama, right? Exactly. Right?
And you had the workers in there to tell that story, too, with Seth and with Finn, where they could kind of go back and forth for a while. No, I get that. I personally like the match.
I did, too.
But I like that they're finally more and more using Bray Wyatt for what he needs to be used for. He's such a great character.
Yes.
And he worked well with all these guys there. And
when he bends over backwards, it scares people. He's the only person. He's got personality when he does that. A lot of these other, it's such a unique move. Nobody does it. I'm not sure what it means, but people look at him and they cringe. He has personality from that from that position.
And it's so funny. Quick side note: watch him do all this on TV, and he's the new face of fear and all this stuff. Then he'll watch his show with his sister Micah, or Micah does a cooking show. Micah Rotunda.
Oh, does he?
Do this.
Okay.
Then he shows up on there to play with her daughter. So you see kind of gentle Bray against as always.
That's the reason I never watched Total Divas or...
You know what?
And I didn't want to see Cena and Daniel Bryan or Bryan Daniels, whoever he is, as friends, and then smack each other around on Raw the next night.
You know what, though? But I was just going to mention that I hear with... I haven't watched Total Divas in a long time, but... that's what I heard about The Miz. Like, seeing him on Total Divas is a total different, like, he's just such, like, I guess from what I understand, he's very, he lives right, like, he keeps tabs on his money, he's very frugal in that, and Maryse is not. She has, like, a fetish for adopting dogs all the time, and he gets freaked out by that.
You had me when you said Maryse has a fetish.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, it includes canines, which I'm not down with that. So what'd you give that match?
I gave that match a B. I really liked it. I thought it was very good. It told a great story. Samoa Joe going over, and we finally get what hopefully will be an extended program, but probably not. It might be a throwaway.
Because that's what they're saying. It's a throwaway, because this is supposed to be Strowman's spot right now.
Yeah.
But he got injured. I'm a huge Strowman mark, by the way. Because he came so fast, sinking along so fast.
Mm-hmm.
I just ran into him at Arnold a few years ago, and it was when they had just signed him. So he's literally only been signed for less than
two or three years. Yeah.
And he's came so far from not knowing a wrist lock from a wristwatch to knowing what he knows now, and that's why I've become a big fan. He knows how to really work the, like, he knows he's a complete package for being a guy that size, and I really liked him beating the hell out of good old Roman Reigns, because I cannot stand him still.
But
I've tried, and I can't. I don't know why. He just can't get over with
it. The other thing that I think Strowman is missing, again, we're going back to what seems to be a theme in this episode of the PVD cast. He needs a mouthpiece, too.
He talks too much.
Yeah, he needs a mouthpiece.
Perhaps if Bray Wyatt gets injured and Bray can't wrestle, he can be his mouthpiece. Or do you think he's too far away from...
I'm tired of them putting the Wyatts back together and taking them apart and putting them together. Like, yeah. He needs...
Yeah.
Who do you suggest? Anybody on the roster?
I don't know if there's anybody on the roster, but I would get... they need to get, like, a straight man that's going to just kind of... Not, like, straight versus other. You know what I mean? Just, like, a guy that's going to come out there...
Not that there's anything wrong with that.
Not at all. That calls it down the middle, that says... You know, he's going to tell him what he's going to do piece by piece, and just what he's going to, you know, break it all down like that. I don't like Bray in that position.
Personally. Bottom line is that there is a lack of managers, period, in WWE. I mean, there really is. There's a lack of managers, and there has been for years. And that's where I think that's the big void, is that you need somebody that can talk, that would be a great fit for some of these people, like Nia Jax, like... Apollo Crews, like Braun Strowman. Heck, even Baron Corbin to an extent, but he's gotten better.
Well, there was a rumor that I thought we were going to start seeing more of that because when they brought Flair back and he showed the figure four to The Miz, that they were bringing back the Horsemen. And I would love to see Flair be a mouthpiece of a group of guys.
Sure.
And kind of bring that type of feel back and get that. Not everybody, not where we had gang members on gang all the time, but like a couple nice stables.
Yeah.
Who would you put with Flair?
Back then, I wanted... this was back then when there was a rumor. It was going to be Miz. I wanted to see Ziggler, Daniel Bryan, and at that time, because he was a big guy, he needed that big enforcer. And somebody I just saw when I was in Vegas, which is a whole other story, I forgot to tell you this, Mason Ryan would have been perfect back then. Because they couldn't find anything to do with them. Mm-hmm. And that way you can hide
his weakness.
Exactly. Yeah. Which they did with Sid.
Yeah. Right.
So, but whatever. Today, I don't know. That would be kind of...
It's hard. Kind of pull across the roster. I mean, right now, Enzo Amore is the best manager they have, and he's in the ring working.
Yeah.
I mean, totally. But he is. Yeah, I mean, because he can talk and all that jazz. And you look out on the indies, I don't know of any really strong managers out on the indies that they could sign. I really don't.
Yeah, because usually those are the guys that's the friend of the benefactor that's helped setting up the ring. Right. They're just putting them out there.
Yeah, I mean, there isn't really anybody out there that I can think of. If you can, if anybody's listening, by all means, shoot me a tweet or whatnot. Let me know. I'll check that person out. But yeah, I don't know who's out there. And again, I'm talking about male managers. I think that there's a plethora of female managers, and a lot of times they're there for the eye candy, let's just be honest, rather than vocal expression and whatnot. So, okay, so let's talk about some other miscellaneous things from the WWE here real quick.
Definitely.
Okay, I'm not a fan of the Amore Cass split, and I hope it doesn't happen.
I hope it doesn't happen either, but I think it's inevitable because we all know that Vince... His personal, we'll give him a hard on.
Okay, sure.
Is big guys. So like, yeah. Big guys, that's his Viagra, and he wants to, he likes to see that, and he wants to push Cass, because it looks like, obviously from Raw, that they might do a Cass and Big Show feud. That might be a direction they go with it, because they have the little talk in the background.
Sure.
There's a spark of dissension between the two.
Yeah.
They're the hottest tag team you got right now.
I agree.
Why would you do that now? That's my point.
They're the hottest tag team you could put out there without putting straps on them, because they don't need titles.
Right. And don't get me wrong, they're not great in the ring. They're okay. They're passable. Enzo's subpar at best.
Okay, I'm a huge Nash fan.
Yeah.
Enzo is leaps and bounds a better wrestler than Nash was at that point in his career when he was with Shawn. Because they kind of compared to that. Obviously, Enzo's not Shawn.
Right.
Charisma-wise, kind of close, right?
Kind of close.
But the comparison's there, and Cass has more going for him than Nash did at that point, mm-hmm. in my opinion. So I don't know. I think it'll work, but I don't want to see it.
I compare Enzo and Cass more to Road Dogg and Billy Gunn, whereas mm-hmm. one guy does all the talking and the other guy's the better wrestler in the ring.
Yep. I totally agree.
Even though one's bigger than the other... But you're right. Vince likes big guys, and he wants to see big guys fight big guys, and it's almost action figures, superheroes.
Because I think there's money in a big Cass Strowman feud. Because Strowman keeps kind of being that tweener. He does out and beats the hell out of people, but he's cheered.
Right.
More and more and more. So you get somebody like that, and then you have this clash of the Titans, and then I think Vince might just explode.
Strowman is cheered because he's beating up Roman Reigns.
And yeah, he beats up anybody, though.
James Ellsworth.
Yeah, he beat the hell out of Kalisto and people. And people love Kalisto.
Right.
So I don't want to see it either, no.
I don't either.
I think it's inevitable.
I think you have to put the tag straps on him first and give him a run before you break him up. That's just my booking of that.
And then have them drop it?
Yeah, yeah. And then you can
one blames the other one.
Yeah,
they drop.
There you go. And then you can go, I mean, I don't know. It remains to be seen what they do. But
I think that'd be perfect. Like, maybe this just... Maybe Sheamus and Cesaro kind of like transitional. Something happens. So we're together. They get the tag straps, and then they lose it really quickly because of dissension or something like that. Then that causes it.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Last night on SmackDown, Lana made a lackluster debut. And this seems to be endemic to the women's division. Emelina. Lana. I mean, she just shows up.
But she was still over.
She was. Even though she's still speaking Russian. I don't know.
Unfortunately, Ringside missed out on SmackDown last night. We won't say why. It's some unmitigated circumstances. Some traffic over there in the Golden Ghetto. But anyways, they were setting up the women's Money in the Bank. And literally, Lana just comes out and just it makes an appearance. And the crowd goes nuts. I mean, she's always been over.
Yeah.
And she's a heel character.
Yeah.
As we saw as the match went on, and she's going to fight
Naomi.
And Naomi probably end up losing. I think they might do something like that to swerve everybody.
Okay.
Does Lana work a good match?
I don't think
she hasn't done anything.
Or does it matter?
She hasn't done anything since that Mania match, but she can't do any better than All Red Everything, or any worse than All Red Everything.
Oh, yeah.
That was horrible.
That was awful.
Eva.
She is gone, right? Officially? Is that true?
I think she was taken over to Pornhub.
All right, there you go.
I'm looking as we speak.
All right, here's my last comment. Why is the WWE hell-bent on three announcers? I don't like it. And number one, partly because I don't like the three announcers. All right, but I think three announcers is too clumsy. Way too clumsy.
I'll just want to chime in really quick. I think you just need a two-person when it's Graves. I think Graves is awesome. I like it. I'm not a fan.
He's
kind of throwback to me because of his, when he pays homage to a lot of former color commentators, mm-hmm. some of the things he says. I'm sure, I know Ringside picks up on that because he's always been a fan of that too.
I see a little Jesse the Body in him.
Yeah. Okay, he's better than JBL. JBL's the shits. I don't like JBL at all as a color commentator. He's Markish.
You see Jesse the Body in him. You see he kind of makes some Heenan marks.
Quite, who? Graves. Okay.
He kind of says some Waller type stuff, but then he does a serious. And this could take you all the way back to what he's got going on with Angle. Now I got this reality angle going on with Angle. What the hell is that about?
Yeah, it's. I don't know.
It's so overacted though.
It is.
You see Angle's because he looks like everybody says a human thumb. So you see, he looks like a thumb wearing a tie, and he's staring at his cell phone. Looking like my mom trying to figure out how to use her cell phone. I don't know what's going on with it, but
it's pretty. And then the other thing that bothers me is SmackDown. We have sometimes no commercial breaks, but yet we do in the middle of a match. Like, what's up with that?
Where they just show the commercials to the side?
Yeah, but not every single match. It's like just specific matches that they do that in, and I'm like, there's no rhyme or reason.
I think they do it when they're continuing matches, but when it's a legit break, they don't do it. That's what I noticed.
No,
last night.
Well, wait a minute. Last night, I think there were some where they will be back, and then, you know.
I don't know. Maybe
it's
people
bizarre.
Paid for that spot.
I don't know.
It might all be money, but I still, overall, I still like the SmackDown product better.
I do, too. It's more compressed. I think 2 hours, you don't have that extra hour that you have to fill with bullshit.
But I wish they would do more with some people you're not seeing on TV.
Exactly.
Like, there's such a big, like, they're one of their top 3 to 5 faces hasn't had a match in 2 weeks.
Ty Dillinger.
Yeah. And they brought him with so much fanfare now, he's not on TV. And where's American Alpha?
Exactly.
So you got all this great talent. They're not saying what's going on with them, and that kind of bothers me.
Who do you think's on too much?
I think, wow.
That's a great question.
I'm Baron Corbin out, personally. But that's just me. I know that.
Sami Zayn.
I don't get Sami Zayn at all.
Yeah.
I realize he's the underdog that tries his hardest, but he just doesn't interest me at all. On the women's side, I have no interest in ever seeing Natalia Hart ever again.
Don't she like does, Natty, huh?
Does nothing for me.
Well, she's kind of... The women's division, as far as wrestlers, there's some good stuff going on.
Yeah, yeah.
But they don't have a lot behind their characters.
Correct. Agreed.
I think that might be... I think if there was more behind the characters... I miss TJ. Like, I wish Tyson was on there with her. I think it'd be that much better, but...
Is it because they only have one match per show?
Do you think they need...
Because they're putting all the characters in one segment?
Maybe. Well, let's do this, okay? I'm going to interrupt. We're almost up to about 55 minutes. Do you guys want to stick around? We'll record a second episode?
I don't care.
Oh. You good, ringside? Come on, we'll make it a
double header. I'm good.
Okay. Well, all right. Well, then let's do this. You got anything you want to plug in terms of Twitter?
Give me a follow at DJ Joey Blaze.
All right.
Blaze with a Y.
Rand? Ringside? Anything to plug social media wise?
My Twitter says if you haven't met me, don't follow me.
Well, there you go. Enough said. All right, then I'll tell you what. We're going to wrap this up. I'll come back here in a little bit to wrap up this episode, but we'll record episode 2. We'll continue talking some wrestling.
All right, sounds good.
I'll be back in a few moments to wrap up this episode. All right, well, there you go. My conversation with Ringside Rand, DJ Joey Blaze. We're talking pro wrestling, and I hope that you enjoyed it. It's been a while since I've sat down and really analyzed pro wrestling for a while. And as I mentioned, I hadn't been watching the WWE product in its entirety for a while. So it was a great opportunity. And I got to, again, be very honest. I got so into the conversation, I didn't even look at the time. And I nearly crapped my pants when I was like, oh man, it's almost an hour that we've been talking and there's plenty more to talk about. So that's why I stopped the guys. I interrupted them. I said, let's come back for a second part. And I'll actually post part 2 in a couple of weeks. I'm going to go ahead and let you know. This is the first time I've ever done this. I usually kind of keep things top secret here with the PVD cast, but I'm going to let you know that next week's episode will feature my conversation with Rebecca Hart Franklin. She is the third part to I-71 Movies, and if you listened to the last episode of the PVD cast, you heard a great conversation that I had with Jose and Derek from I-71 Movies. She was the third part. She's in the Washington, D.C. area, so we sat down and talked a little bit about it. So she will be up next week, and then the following week, you'll hear the continuation of Ringside Rand, DJ Joey Blaze, and myself talking about professional wrestling, but... Let me go ahead and tell you where you can get in touch with me if you have any comments, complaints, critiques, whatever. You can shoot me an email at johnorlando@pvdcast.com. You can follow me on Twitter at pvdmvp. You can even leave me a note if you like over on the Facebook page of the PVDcast, and that, of course, is facebook.com/pvdcast. And don't forget that you can get this podcast not only at pvdcast.com, but you can also get it through iTunes, Stitcher Radio, through SoundCloud, and of course Google Play as well. No matter how you get your hands on this podcast, please rate, review, subscribe, tell folks about it, however you want to do. All right, however you want to do it. You want to email, you want to write letters, you want to text people and let them know about this podcast, however you want to do it, please do it, because I would greatly appreciate it. And with that then, ladies and gentlemen, let me get on out of here so I will chat at each and every one of you later.